Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Break the Cycle with me, your host, Joshua Smith. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Thursday. It's Thursday. We're not playing the welcome music. What's going on here? Let's fix that right away.
Boomerang number two.
Boomerang is it playing and we can't hear it.
I can't help it. It's just how I roll. It's not playing. So I'm not sure what happened there. We'll figure it out. It's just not even playing anymore at all.
Yeah, that's never consistent.
It has been for a long time, actually. It has been. But apparently it's no longer. Let's see if we can figure out why. There we go.
Oh, there it is.
Did it.
Hello, hello, hello. I've been boomering stuff. Look, guys, we finally got an 8-channel mixer in the studio. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know that we've had lots of audio issues. So I went through and I patched this 8-channel audio mixer in so that our guests could hear all 3 mics, first of all, but also we could all have our chairs back. And when I did that for some, it like messed up all the defaults on OBS. But like I've been like finding things that aren't the same anymore. My controller doesn't all work. Like I can't just hit start the scenes with the controller anymore. So I got to go through and like reprogram everything, but it is what it is. Guys, how are you doing tonight? Welcome to Thursday. It's been a wild week for everybody. Probably not as wild as it has been for Israel and Palestine, but close, definitely close. Before we get too far into it, go check out TopLobster.com. Look, it won't even put up Top Lobster for me, dude. This is crazy. Go check out TopLobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend, and partner on Break the Cycle, where you can get all kinds of great Break the Cycle hoodies, backpacks, shirts, hats. This one that our good friend Ryan is wearing tonight, the Better Call Soul shirt that he's wearing, is actually by our good friend Danny over at Top Lobster. You can get a 20% discount by using BTC at checkout. Or you can join the Patreon, subscribe, star, become a member of the YouTube channel under all of our videos by hitting the join link, where you can get into a private Discord server and get Top's new gear up to 2 weeks before it goes to the general public at a 30% discount. Great stuff. We love us some Top Lobster around here. Guys wiling out right now. Him and Owen Benjamin going nuts. But, you know, what are you going to do? I love Top. He's one of the coolest guys I know. Check in my wonderful co-host. Of course, our first wonderfully mustachied, long-haired, long-time co-host, Mr. Ryan Kurtzer. How are you doing, mate?
I have been a long-time co-host.
Yeah, you've been a long time. It's been over a year now.
Yeah. The best throw pillow in the business.
Best throw pillow in the business. Yeah absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think we've told you that story, but you listen to the show, so you know.
Did you?
What?
Oh, and our great friend AJ, sir. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. I survived Florida, barely.
Disney, too, which is even harder.
Disney.
Yeah, and you got COVID.
I believe I had COVID. I never took a test. I'm pure blood. I don't care. But we did 4 parks in 5 days.
Yeah, that's what you do.
7 hours minimum. So
that's what you do. When we went, I think we were there 7 or 8 days. 7 days, I think. We did all the parks.
What the hell was that, dude?
Well, that was...
Jane Echo. Boomerang?
No, that was Jane. Desktop audio's off. That was our end.
It was the top G from the Matrix.
If you guys hear any weird audio issues, please let us know right away. Because at the end of the last episode, I went on this like beautiful rant about all the shit that's going on in the Libertarian Party. Beautiful rant. Apparently, the whole time it was echoing. I had no idea, and it was like right after our guest left. And I'm like, man, I'm gonna clip this. I'm going to post it everywhere because it was basically my eat shit rant. It, like, listen, if you weren't in the trenches with me when they were attacking my family and my going after my 15-year-old daughter and telling my grandma they wished she would die, if you weren't in the trenches with me then, eat shit. Like, I don't care what you have to say about this.
So, like, there's an FBI crew in a van out.
I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, it just starts. Listen to the last episode, it just automatically starts echoing out of the blue. And nobody knows why. But I went off. Like, I went
yeah,
off.
Yeah, you went hard.
Anyways. Guys, we've got a great show for you tonight. I am very excited. He's been a guest on the show at least 2 times. I know at least 2. A longtime friend.
Yeah. Long-time. Before we introduce him, be sure to like, comment, subscribe, do all that good stuff, share the show.
Thanks for reminding me, dude.
Yeah, and then nice give me some yepcocks in the chat, too.
Yeah, yepcocks in the chat for our good friend Ryan, because he's a weirdo.
Good job, Ryan.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
I like that. It's going to be harder for me to I got to go through 4 different scenes now with all this stuff, by the way. But my good friend, the host of the Bitcoin Veterans show, also, what was the old show you had there, Shane? What was that called?
Radical, actually.
Radical, that's right. Our good friend Shane Hazel's here to hang out with us tonight. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
man. I am thrilled to be here. Doing really, really good. So, yeah, you know, besides being Shan, you know, it's...
Yeah,
it's,
Shan Hazel tonight. I promise I will get that fixed as soon as the show is over. We will go and edit that. What have you been up to lately, man? You got this new show. We haven't seen you like around the LP since you absolutely slayed in the debates. What's going on with you, man?
Yeah. I guess I have kind of retired from politics for a while. I found this new crazy girlfriend. She's hot. I mean, don't get me wrong. The LP is one of those where you know, it was a good ride for a long time, and then I found something more effective. So her name is Bitcoin.
I think Shane's wife's gonna kill him, dude.
Yeah, I'm allowed one crazy girlfriend at a time. For a while it was the LP, now it's Bitcoin. And so I guess to put it mildly, kind of went, you know, head first into this thing. I just found it as a more effective weapon against the state in building something that was a lot of fun. So I kind of dove in head first, and now I'm actually doing it for a living on top of it. It's been a wild ride.
Nice. Yeah, that's you told me that the other day on the phone, and I was pretty excited for you, man, because I know there was some weird things going on. People were going after you about your old jobs and stuff, and I've even had people text me and be like, hey, you know this stuff about Shane recently, and I'm like, dude, Shane's been my friend for a long time. That was some dubious claims about whatever was going on, and I think it was wrongly used against you. I wish I would have said something. Thanks, Externality, for the 99 cent super chat, man. We appreciate you. So what are you doing in Bitcoin these days, man?
I'm a executive account executive over at Swan Bitcoin. We are the largest Bitcoin only service, and we handle high net worth individuals, but more than that, it's about a little over 100 people. They've doubled in size over the past year. We just got back from Pacific Bitcoin, which is a conference on the West Coast. If you guys think you leave high from any of the Libertarian Party stuff, come do this, where politics is kind of a backseat. And everybody's trying to figure out how to grow, how to be better. I mean, the information and the minds over there is just amazing. So I've been hanging out with these guys over at Swan for about the past 3 months, and just been in the Bitcoin crowd now for a couple of years. And I invite everybody. I mean, if you're tired of the nihilism, you're tired of, you know, kind of fighting an uphill fight, come learn Bitcoin and hang out and see what this is all about, because it is the best weapon that we have against destroying the Fed, destroying a fiat counterfeit culture, and, you know, actually putting some principle back into our lives in a positive incentive structure. So, but yeah, that's
I love that you said the counterfeit culture, because, you know, I've been on this campaign trail now. Anybody who doesn't know, I'm running for president of the United States of America as a libertarian. We're considering ourselves the preeminent candidate currently. We have won every single poll that has come out. There's not a single poll that we haven't slain, which is great to see. But what sets me apart is I am a fan of the Bitcoin and the Bitcoin movement and the functionality and the, you know, the format and the fact that it lays a framework for when. And I say when because it's not about if, about when the central banking system fails. You already have a framework there to make sure that you don't bleed. If you've already invested in crypto and you're looking at it as not just an investment, but as your new source of currency, which is what everyone should be looking at Bitcoin as, then it gives you that framework to kind of just like float away from the central banking system and not have to worry about it anymore. Right? So I've been telling people a lot about this stuff because, you know, if you guys are crazy enough to put me in the White House, I'm making Ron Paul the chair of the Federal Reserve, and he's going to go in there with his bat. And there's not going to be much of a Federal Reserve left. In fact, the Congress probably gonna be like, yeah, we might as well pull the charter. Ron Paul went in there and basically tore down the walls, right? And so, like, but like, it's going to be a lot of blood when that happens. When the Federal Reserve and central banking system falls, there's going to be a lot of blood. People are going to be hurting unless they've already invested into Bitcoin or something along those lines, but Bitcoin especially, because it's already laid the framework, right? Like, I get the precious metals guys, and I like gold and silver too. You know what I mean? But Bitcoin especially is the future of our currency, in my opinion. What do you think about that, Shane?
Man, I would suggest anybody that's out there that hasn't talked to a financial advisor or even has talked to a financial advisor, go over and take a look on YouTube at Michael Saylor, Prague 2023. He lays out the case for Bitcoin against all other assets. And I will tell you, when you see what he does in a very short time, 30 minutes, talk about CPI since 1913 being really more like 8 or 9%, and then showing people, you know, the S&P, gold, silver, bonds, foreign exchanges, whatever, you know, the fiat casino is,
right.
You start to see very quickly that even if you picked in the S&P, which is the best performing asset you could possibly have, even better than gold, the S&P, if you pick the top 1% of the companies for the past 100 years, you would have only kept up with inflation. And that kind of lets you know, like, how rigged this entire damn system is. It's like, if you were incredibly lucky in 1% all the time, you were still only going to average out somewhere at inflation rate, which means you're losing ground, basically. Right. You're not really gaining. So, yeah, man, this is a hell of a movement. It's a hell of a thing. You know, I think a lot of people get lost with the idea that, oh, you know, it's brand new. It's like, no, man, people have been trying to make e-cash and e-gold and all these things since the 90s. And really didn't get it done until, you know, Bitcoin came along, and, you know, understanding, you know, forks and all these other things that happen within, quote unquote, you know, the cryptos, which Bitcoin is not. Bitcoin is a commodity. All that other stuff is securities, which is built on fiat understanding of economics. Anyway, this is something that not only is going to change your life as an asset, which is, you know, maybe the worst reason to get into it, but it's going to change culture. It's gonna reestablish the free trade, right? I mean, like, right. as libertarians, like, it's just me and you. If I want to send a payment to somebody in Africa to put in a hydro dam and then make some electricity that they can use for Starlink to start lighting a village, you know, that has never been possible before, I can send it directly to that person. There's no third party, no rails, none of that kind of stuff. And you're talking about, you know, cash. So if you want to do this without anybody knowing about it, it's like, go fucking ahead. And I don't know, for me, you know, there's a million different rabbit holes with this that you can run down, but, you know, that's barely scraping the surface of, like, what Bitcoin is.
Yeah. I agree. And you know, it's funny, because when I got really into politics in 2017, 2016, somewhere around there, I worked on Ron Paul's campaigns. So, when I really dove head first into, yeah, I know, it's like, I totally just name dropped there, dude. I'm sorry. But, you know, whatever. It's true. I worked on Ron Paul's campaigns. It's what brought me to politics, right? But in 2016, when I really got involved with the party and decided to start running for chair in 2017 of the national party, there was a write-up about me in bitcoin.com, because I was like one of the first people in 2017 to be talking about, you know, crypto and Bitcoin in politics. And it's so crazy how that was just 6 years ago.
Yeah, man.
And now there's this huge movement, and this people are starting to mass adopt. I mean, it really is that dream of mass adoption is starting to come true. And we need more people in politics that are saying, hey, man, well, first of all, we want to get rid of this Federal Reserve central banking system. That's an absolute scam. And what I call it is a giant counterfeiting machine that steals your wealth through a tax called inflation, right? That's essentially what it does. And because of the central control of our monetary system, markets are deflationary, right? Like, markets are supposed to be deflationary. We were on our way to being a society that retired at 50 years old, right? But because of this hard central control and them being able to just play moneymaker, right, and kingmaker, we now are going to work until we're dead. You know, we see it in Congress all the time, but it happens in the private sector too. Now you're going to work till you're dead. There's no more Social Security for you. If you're 40 right now, don't bet on Social Security. It's gone. It's over, right? You won't retire. You know, the middle class is quickly fading. It's almost gone. I mean, really, I mean, we're going to be Venezuela taking our bags of cash down to the store to buy a loaf of bread. But we have this thing here that can totally fix it. It can totally fix all of that right now. We can it's a beautiful currency that circumvents the federal government entirely. And it can travel around the world in seconds. Like, why wouldn't we be adopting that massively after the way that the government has treated our money? It doesn't make any sense to me why you wouldn't be putting your money.
FUD, brother.
It's FUD.
There's so much fear and uncertainty and doubt that's propagated through the same people that told you to get shots and mask and, you know, stay away from each other 6 feet. And there's this, you know, crazy virus that came from a wet market, right? Like these people that told you that Iraq 1 and 2 were, you know, a bunch of terrible people and we needed to go in. It's those people, the same people that told us like Syria had, I guess the Bashar al-Assad had gassed his own people when people, the UN was exiting. I mean, why wouldn't you believe these people about your money when they've been so truthful all along?
So honest, yeah. And just absolute beacons of truth. And how could you not believe them when it comes to, you know, the thing that helps sustain your everyday life, like money? It doesn't make any sense why you wouldn't believe these guys. It's pretty wild. Speaking of all these wars and Iraq and Syria, and man, it's a really unstable time, foreign policy wise. You know, we have this tripwire in Taiwan for war with China, right? And I say tripwire, and I believe that's what it is. You know, I talk a lot on the show and in my interviews, people are always bringing up China. Aren't you afraid of the communist China? Well, no. You know, there's this like notion that China is trying to dominate the world, right? They have this whole fake economy that's built on a house of cards. I mean, these guys are building entire cities that are vacant.
Now they're destroying them.
Yeah, now they're destroying them. They're building railroads that go nowhere. There's hundreds of millions of people living in abject poverty. Abject poverty. In fact, the vast majority of China lives in abject poverty, and that's where these wet markets come into place, and they're eating fucking anything they can find, and everything they can find, right? And you're going to tell me that that's this burgeoning society, this burgeoning economy that's trying to take over the world? No, man. What they're trying to do in their heads is get 5% more of the Pacific, basically. That's what it is. And so this whole thing with Taiwan is predicated on the fact that we can't make semiconductors here in the United States, chips that we all rely on for all of our stuff, right? But the fact of the matter is that we make 12% of those semiconductors right now today in the United States of America, okay? We build the robots that build those semiconductors here in America and then send them overseas to build those semiconductors. We mine cobalt. We mine silica here, which it needs, what it takes. And it's no problem to do that here. We have an abundance of it. AMD could take on a project like this in Austin, Texas overnight, almost overnight, guaranteed. So all Taiwan is a tripwire. We've always played this big brother, little brother thing where we're like, all right, listen, China. If you try to take Taiwan back, we might protect them. And listen, Taiwan, if you go head up with China, we might not protect you. And it's always worked since like Nixon, right? But now we have a crazy Alzheimer's patient at the head of the state telling China, we'll protect Taiwan for our microchips. But it's just a tripwire. It's all it is. Because they want war. Now, couple that with the fact that we've been poking fingers at Russia and pushing them into the arms of China. Okay. Right. And now we're talking about going to war with Palestine, which will automatically make Iran come to the table immediately. 100% guaranteed. If we go in there and start bombing Palestine as Americans, it's bringing Iran to the table. Now we've got to deal with Iran, China, and Russia all at the same time. We're talking nuclear winter, World War III guaranteed, hundreds of other countries involved, all of Europe. It's bad.
And I'm pretty sure that Iran is not too happy with us today.
Iran hasn't been very happy with us for a long time.
The CIA admitted that they backed a coup in 1953.
That was a long time ago. They've admitted that it was us. It was us. It was the CIA and the MI6.
Yeah, they said it wasn't very democratic of them.
Yeah, so it was the first democratically elected prime minister in Iran's history. Essentially put the Shah out of power. Okay, and it was Mohammad Mossadegh. He was, you know, obviously a socialist leaning communist, whatever. But he decided to nationalize the oil, tell everybody, okay, you guys got to start paying your fair share. We're not going to continue to let you rob us blind for this oil so that we can play geopolitics. You know, you guys got to pay for this shit. Weeks later, the CIA and MI6 come into Iran and stage an entire coup of the democratically elected prime minister and reinstall the Shah. This was in the 50s. If you can look at this situation from the 50s and think that this has nothing to do with today, you're crazy. Not to couple that with the fact that Russia and Iran, we've set up military bases literally surrounding their countries, all of them. Okay. And Iran doesn't like us very much. I wonder why. Russia doesn't like us very much. I wonder why. And China's just an easy teammate. And if we keep pushing China, they won't like us much either. You know, and we need a president that's going to go in there and say, hey, all right, we're done with this shit. We're done with it. We're going to pull these troops back. We're going to start closing down these bases. And we're going to stop foreign aid, too. Done with that. Unless you want to do, like, a diplomatic trade deal with Americans that benefits Americans. Because we're sending hundreds of billions of dollars to 200 countries every year with no trade at all. Zero. Nothing. We're getting, what does Israel give us? A lobby that continues to oppress us?
Yeah. There's never any talk about what we get back in the deal.
Well,
there's
that's
only
because...
an immediate, Biden spoke immediately and said, we will be sending aid.
Oh, yeah.
Munitions.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's not
to make
American
sure they can defend themselves.
Something.
Oh, yeah.
It's people like the New Jersey senator who was in charge of foreign aid
and taking bribes from Egypt.
And is currently being charged with taking bribes from, including cars, house, $100,000 in gold, $450,000 cash. And all sorts of other things. It's been wild. And this has kind of gone under the radar that one of the sitting senators, well, was a sitting senator until like this week, I think.
Yeah.
Is being indicted for corruption.
Sure.
For being an agent of a foreign state.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. It doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't surprise
me. It's not
nailed
down.
Weird how under the radar it's been.
Well, I'll say this. I recently released a list of people that I would like to see my cabinet members should America be crazy enough to put me in the White House. And by crazy, I mean sane, right? Because like I get it. I'm just a blue-collar working class tattooed skateboarder guy who's got six kids, but I'm way more qualified than any president we've had in my lifetime. Okay. But one of those people that I picked for Secretary of Defense was my good friend Shane Hazel here, because he does understand geopolitics and he does understand how to opt out of that stuff. I mean, what's your take on this? Do you have a similar take to me, Shane?
I'd say we're pretty much aligned on the big picture. The root cause in terms of identifying what's going on is, you know, follow money, right? In terms of how we are, how we have always been. And we don't get me wrong. Like, America set the record when we had the IMF and the International Monetary Fund go out there with the World Bank and start pushing in loans for, you know, international interests into, you know, oil rich countries, you know, just resource rich countries, where we would go in, we would set up a structure and say, hey, we're going to give you all this debt, which is, you know, fiat dollars. And then at the end of that, when the industry came in, the industry got paid. Like, the people there didn't get paid. You're not actually enriching the country itself. And, you know, at that point, once that happens, now you've got a debt that has to be paid. And the only thing that they'll do is say, hey, we're going to offer you more debt. We're going to restructure your debt. You're going to do more of what we want you to. And also, maybe we're going to put some people in place inside of your government that will be yes men for us. And so this happens on larger and larger scales all around the world, especially in the Middle East, where we pulled our first coup with Iran under Operation Ajax, as you guys were alluding to. And to see...
Shane even knows the name.
Yeah, that's what we do, man. And we've been doing that around the world ever since. And what's crazy is now we have laid the groundwork where we have put such a bad taste in everybody's mouth. And by we, I obviously don't mean the American public in general, but a lot of the creations that have come out of the United States in terms of the IMF and the World Bank, the Federal Reserve, these people have laid this groundwork for now where China does the same thing, but they do it a little bit differently. And they say, hey, look, you know, this will be your country and we're not going to interfere. And you take all of the loans and the debt, but we are going to insert policy into your government instead of figures. And this was kind of more palpable for a long time. Now that's also coming undone, like you alluded to earlier, Josh, where, you know, China's really this paper tiger that's got no economy left. It's you know, it's on the verge of collapse as well. You know, if the U.S. dollar is the strongest and people in America are struggling, that kind of lets you know, because if the U.S. dollar has declined 99.9%, all other currencies that are pegged to the dollar have also been, you know, fractionally depleted to a certain degree. And sometimes that's 70%, sometimes it's 80%. If you're Argentina, it's 90%. That's why Miley down there is, you know, as angry as he is and kicking ass. I mean, he's got the right message and he understands economics like yourself. And so to stop that side of it, and, you know, why we keep coming back to this thing called Bitcoin, is if we can get this shit out of the fiat counterfeit class hands, then what we can do is start moving it into a place that Jason Lowry, if you haven't read Soft War, good luck finding it. They pulled it. He's a major in the Space Force. He talks about power projection in this and the ability to use Bitcoin to do that. It aligns to better incentives for human beings to begin with. So now what you're going to have is people with good incentives that have really front run this entire market before the ETFs come, probably by the end of the year. And that's tens of trillions of dollars. And you're talking about, you know, this small amount of money that's capped at 21 million now being in the hands of principled human beings. I'm not saying there's no room for corruption, but the incentive to use force and coercion, which we as libertarians are just a test. You know, if you can't, if there's no incentive towards force and coercion, now you're living in a different society. You're living in a society where the government actually has to provide goods or services that are palpable for anybody. And at that point, now, you know, you're talking about dealing with like Chick-fil-A versus, you know, this authoritarian regime, you know, that's, you know, gone extremely fascist since 2020. And only gotten worse. You know, that's the difference. You know, what do you want to do? You want to continue to play these stupid fiat games? You're gonna get stupid fiat prizes. And, you know, on this other side, you can get down to the bottom of all of this and say, hey, you know what, fuck the IMF, fuck the Fed, fuck the World Bank, all these NGOs and the MIC that depend on all of them. Like, you can say fuck all you guys, and by the way, you can't touch me. Like, good luck. There's no incentive to force to come get this shit.
I love this. This is why I like Shane. Look, I talk a lot about, like, what I would like to see out of a presidential candidate if I wasn't the presidential candidate. And one of those things to me is the anger, right? Like, I need to see the anger. I need to see the hatred. I need to see the rage. Like, I need somebody who's fire. There's a fire behind you that's, like, that you could tell that you're passionate about these things because they're probably the things that have been harming your family. Like, you know what I mean? And we don't – there's no politicians at the top that have felt these things the way that we feel them. And so it's nice to hear it from somebody else. Shane, you'd make a great presidential candidate, man. I'm telling you.
I've heard, and I like my marriage a lot.
I know. I asked Shane on the phone the other day. I said, hey, Shane, what's going to take to get you to run as my VP, buddy? This would be a lot of fun. And he said, nah, man, I love my wife too much. I can't do it. So I get it. I said, I got a 5-foot even Italian wife. I get it, man. She's scary. She
put up with me for years doing this stuff. And, you know, the fact that I got a governor run out of it and a couple of good quips at, you know, some people, maybe not internally as healthy as it could be. It felt fucking great.
Oh, and, good. Yeah.
Yeah. You know how it is.
That's one of the ways that I'm able to, like, justify this to my wife. I'm like, look, sweetie, this is, first of all, I love doing this. I love the politics stuff. Like, I get to go out and tell bad people they're bad. Okay. And it's like catharsis for me because they're fucking up all our lives. Really. They have been for a long time. They're going to continue to do it if we don't stand up and as a team and say no more. But Bitcoin does that, dude. It really does. And that's why it always comes back to Bitcoin. And when I was talking about it the other day, I was saying that there's so many other things that it runs congruent with too, right? Like the food freedom market and all these other great the healthcare freedom market and just all these other like markets, these free of government tyranny markets, and all use Bitcoin, right? So like 10 years ago, you know, if you could buy a pizza with Bitcoin, it was like crazy. It was a miracle, right? Yeah. Now it's like there's Bitcoin ATM machines and, you know, you can, I got a buddy who pays rent with Bitcoin and you know what I mean? Like it's great what it's becoming. And that's the direction it needs to continue to go. If we're ever going to circumvent this federal government, pull the money away from what Shane is calling the counterfeit class. And now that's what I'm going to call them. well, because that's a great term. I love that. You got any feelings on this, AJ? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Doing good. The news has been depressing, obviously.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I've been trying to stay away from possible. I did want to bring up an aspect of this conflict between Israelis and Palestinians. I don't think a lot of people are talking about.
Sure.
And this is where political correctness gets people killed, right? So I want to stay away from a certain term, but it's called consanguinity. And it's when you marry a member of your family. So it's a very common practice in the Middle East and India for a very long time, where you marry your first cousin, and it's done primarily to keep wealth within the family. However, when you do this over and over again, the end result is a overall lowering of IQ. There's some facial morphic features that get messed with. And there's a propensity to aggression. And right. So when you look at a map of consanguinity in the world, it overlays almost perfectly with where we see a lot of conflict in the world.
Sure.
And so we can talk about the sky wizards and fighting about your sky wizards and who's the correct sky wizard. But really, I think at the end of the day, we're dealing with an entire gigantic population of people that are violent, and I won't say the R word, but not so smart.
Right. Well, you got to understand, and I don't think a lot of people are aware of, I think that most people don't have any idea what's going on at all. And they just
correct
echo whatever the government is telling them. But you got to understand that like Palestine is like 25 mile strip of land, 5 miles wide, and they're not allowed to leave. They literally have like a built-in seawall that they're not allowed to go outside of. Right. They're like constant. What's that?
Most people don't know that. Like to talk about it like it's an American Indian reservation, but it's walled off. Like people have never heard that. They don't talk about that in the news anywhere, man.
I'm shocked at the amount of people that I've talked to in the past few days that don't even understand that when they say Palestine, it's within, Israel. It's not two different countries with a different border and a different. No. That's what people think.
Well, that's why
they think
it's
two different flags.
That's why people talk about like a two-state solution,
right?
Or even a one-state solution. Like,
right.
Okay, you got to stop doing this. You can't have all these barriers and stuff.
I think that point's lost on most.
It is.
People.
It is wild to me though. And I was on the Stu Peters show earlier today. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Stu Peters.
Absolutely.
He's the guy who made the Died Suddenly move. Unfortunately, Stu was not able to make the show, so I was on with his co-host Paul, who's great, by the way. As well, no diss there. I had a great time, and I'll probably go back on with Stu at some point. But we were talking about Greenblatt and the ADL, right? And it's so funny. It like coincidentally, this all pops off when the ADL is under the most fire they've been under in the United States for decades. Okay, but we were talking about this the other day. How Greenblatt and the Zionists and Israel, the government of Israel, are dead set on only Jews can be here. This is Israel, Jews only. Nobody else can come into our country. But Greenblatt comes over here and twice a day talks about how we must let every into the United States, period, plain and simple. Has to be done. And it's so weird to see that hypocrisy from the Zionists. It's so weird to me that people don't just look at that and go, oh, no, we don't. Just discredit everything that person says from now on. They're obviously a hypocrite. And I've grown in my immigration stances, over the last, 10 years. So I used to be this full bore, like, yeah, let's flood the country as much as we possibly can. Now I've taken a step back and I have to like reassess that because of how unsustainable it has been. but I'm also not like I have to close up every border and keep everybody. What I mean? But I don't know. What do you think, Shane?
On immigration, this whole thing is so fucked up from the ground up, right? And you look at, where we're at, and I was, I want people to be able to move freely around the planet. I get
it. We all do.
I don't want massive hordes of desperate young men that are violent fucking moving across private property. And that's the problem. I mean, anybody that, talks to you, left, right, center, it doesn't matter, is, look, we've got the current condition, you know, and obviously, you know, more money and more troops and, you know, more everything that they're doing isn't working. And I think anybody will sit there and say, yeah, you know what? I actually agree. I mean, the Democrats, the GOP, the people at large, all of these people are like, yeah, you know what? The border's pretty fucked up. We got kids in cages. We got people in cages down there. What's the solution? It's, well, it's not more money. It's not more politicians. It's not more involvement from a central authority. You know, this is a private property issue. And if we're going to move, you know, in a certain direction, moving to a private property issue where localities could band together, it doesn't mean like if it's a, you know, we start to privatize land that services, you know, that could possibly be provided at a much better rate and more effective job because there's actually somebody that's got to pay at the end of the day for their piss poor performance. You know, you start doing something like that with competition, and now what you're talking about is actual property rights that are enforceable. Is America in a hurt locker? Yeah. Is the southern border a problem? Yeah, but DC is still the biggest issue that America has. Right now, there are more people who are in DC who may be even unknowingly plotting against its own citizens for popularity, for, you know, venture capital, you name it, across the board, whatever their ill incentive is. Those people, those are the most dangerous people in the world. And by the way, there are psychopathic megalomaniacs that have killed more people than any private citizen or private citizens group has ever even dreamed of. So right. Yeah, we've got a lot of work to do on immigration and all that kind of stuff, because, you know, this whole situation, you know, luckily in America, we've got a lot of guns and a lot of guys with a lot of know-how. And if this does rear its rug, it's really ugly head, I think it gets put down fairly quickly, because I've seen how these people shoulder weapons and use sights, and like it's not really great.
Yeah. I was talking the other day about, if they bring the draft back, I'm taking my kids and bugging out to the Appalachia stand. That's where we're going. No doubt about it. Because I look at some of the people, even in the middle of the country, who shoulder some of these rifles, and I'm like, yeah, those guys ain't going to help. But Appalachias, I know that they will. Yeah. I know that they will. Those guys, they know what they're doing. They're basically a better army than our own army, and they got the high ground.
Alaska, Michigan.
Yes. Yep.
If they reinstitute the draft, my wife and I have a plan for when I go to prison if I get drafted.
Where are you going to? What's the plan?
You'll live with my mom.
Oh, that's
your
plan?
Sell the house. And,
yeah.
Your plan is to go to prison?
Yeah. If I get drafted, yeah.
All right.
Why wouldn't you just identify as a lady, bro?
I would tell the
government. You already got the long hair, dude.
I mean, if I could. If I could avoid it through some, you know, semantics, I would try that. But I would assume in the end, they're either going to say, go to the army or we'll throw you in prison.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, all right, throw me in prison.
Yeah. Ben Shapiro got caught today using AI images of dead babies.
Yes. That guy's disgusting.
Yeah, he's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. So I will say this, okay?
Technically, it was charred remains.
Yeah, okay. It was put through an AI picture finder, and it was shown to be AI. And here's the thing: this is crazy to me. It is really crazy to me. This whole Israeli Hamas, like IDF Hamas fight going on right now. I keep hearing dead babies. I keep hearing about dead babies on both sides. Dead babies, dead babies, dead babies. Right? And I've never seen more dead babies on my timeline. It sucks. Like, it hurts my heart, man. Every time I see a dead 1-year-old coming out of rubble, I immediately think of my 1-year-old. Like, I see his face,
100%.
Right? And it breaks my heart, man. It breaks my fucking heart. Like, I hate this. Stop it. Stop it. Why are you doing this to each other? Right? But I'll tell you this. I keep hearing about all the dead babies in Israel. I keep hearing about them. But the only dead babies I'm seeing from videos are in Palestine. The only ones I've seen. And they're legit videos. Real videos taken on cell phones of kids being, you know, taken out of rubble of a civilian building that was bombed to the ground. And I see Americans celebrating the genocide of the Palestinian people. Okay? I don't see any Americans talking about genociding the Jews. Okay? Because you know, if you did that, you'd be kicked square in the teeth. Yeah. Right? So, yeah, like, why are we celebrating dead babies? What's wrong with you? What kind of person are you that you're celebrating dead babies and children? Where's our humanity? Has our humanity become a casualty of war? Literally forever? Knock it off. Not cool, man. I listen, Hamas might need to go, okay? The IDF has done a bunch of bad shit too. Really bad. Both of them. Okay, fine. Let's take them to an island somewhere and let them duke it out. Stop killing babies, man. What's wrong with you?
Let's just give one of them Detroit.
Oh, well, I mean, they got Toledo, so
yeah, they already got Toledo, buddy. Yeah, I'm just, I'm serious. It burns me up, dude.
You know, the stuff you hear about. Well, they say, well, the reason is Hamas sets up rocket attacks in civilian occupied buildings on purpose, knowing the listen, it's a death cult. Okay, we keep trying to think about this in a Western civilization war tactic mode. We wouldn't do that. We take territory so that we can have a safe place for our choppers to take off, a refueling station, a fucking forward operating base. We think about strategy about taking land. A death cults don't do that.
No,
they just want to kill as many of their quote enemy unquote as they can,
right,
and be done with it. Knowing full well, Hamas knowing full well that the counterstrike will completely obliterate themselves, they don't fucking care.
No,
they don't care.
I just look at this is how I look at it, man. Okay, if someone came over, shot my wife, killed my wife, and I go over there and kill their cousin's child, that's not retribution.
No,
that's not revenge. That's not retribution. It's not. It makes me just as bad as the guy who.
Right.
And in war, it's the same thing. It's the same exact thing. If you're killing innocent people to try and rout out some bad people, you're not the good guy. You're not the good guy. I'm sorry. If you're killing children, you're not the good guy. Anybody with a logical, compassionate, normal brain would think that you're the bad guy for killing babies. Period. Whether it's Hamas or Israel, I don't support terrorism. If I say that the IDF is doing bad things too, that doesn't mean that I support Hamas, okay? And I want the conservatives to listen to this. I want you to listen to what I'm saying because you're the idiot saying this shit. You're the one saying, well, then you support Hamas. No, I don't. I support not killing babies. The same way that you pretend to say and pretend to care about not killing babies when you talk about abortion or you talk about war against Israel or you talk about any other war that you're against. And you say, I'm pro-life. Okay, if you're pro-life, you're not celebrating the death of children, even if it's the children of your enemies.
Being pro-life means you're anti-war.
Well, listen, let's
absolutely.
Let me level out the statement I said about Hamas. Let's be very clear. It's been released now that the Israelis knew the attack was coming.
Yes.
They were at some level in their military, they knew the attack was coming.
Up to 10 hours
before.
But did
not want to raise a high alarm. Why not? It's the same. I hate to say the same reasoning, right? But
as 9/11,
they sacrificed their people, knowing that the eventual giant counterattack. Now they look. It's optics, so they look like the good guys.
It blows my mind, dude. That we've.
It's 9/11. It's January 6th. It's all. We know something's going to happen, but we're going to withhold the intelligence so that it goes through. And then after the fact, we'll get what we want.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it's totally true that a bunch of goat herders were able to coordinate the greatest attack ever held in Israel by one of the greatest security states in the entire world.
Yeah, they drove tractors. Everybody knows how fast tractors are.
Yeah, fast tractors. Where'd they get the hang gliders,
man? They drove up to the fence and opened up a hole.
Where'd they get the M4s at? Where'd they get the M4s at?
That's right.
I mean, the hang gliders out of Yak Hair.
Every single video of Hamas... In this excursion, in this conflict, right. They're carrying M4s, man.
We supplied their weapons. And Ryan, you just talked about a little bit ago when we supported the coup. Whose weapons were those?
It's always our weapons. It's always the United States military.
Got
we
that
leave
Raytheon
the weapons there and go. Well,
what's up, Shane?
You're always finding that next conflict. You can't just go in there and be able to wipe the floor with those guys. That's you're always funding the next conflict. If you think for a second we're not going to probably or in their hopes face a lot of those same weapons over in fucking Ukraine when that whole thing goes to shit. I mean, this whole Israeli thing. I mean, this whole thing stinks so bad. If a knuckle dragging cran eater like myself can sit here and figure out like. hey guys, like, I'm pretty sure Hamas was created by Israel and the fucking CIA. And if they needed something in terms of, like, let's say our economy is in a fucking debt spiral and we need to take the eyes off of the bankers. And you know what? The best way to do that is outrage, absolute chaos and outrage during one of the worst times in economic history. What do? You start parading babies that have been blown to pieces across. You make up lies about women being, you know, raped. You do everything that a sensible masculine man, probably, you know, with tons of testosterone, because let's face it, that's who fights fucking wars. Like, you start to do this kind of controlled bullshit, and you know exactly what it's going to do. You're going to have the propaganda machines on standby to cover it. It's going to be outrage. It's going to be 24/7 on whatever the next media is. If it's, you know, Twitter Spaces or, you know, whatever the next, I don't know, this distribution platform is. And this is where, you know, this is where people get caught up. And yeah, you're right, man. Conservatives who have been bitching about Ukraine for the past, I don't know, year, now that you're going to say, oh yeah, I'm with fucking Lindsey Graham, like, we should own the entire fucking world, and, you know, we'll all be fine.
Listen, any conservative that was against Ukraine a couple of weeks ago that is now standing with Lindsey Graham should be mocked and ridiculed until they go into hiding forever.
I think that you have to share a bed with them on the front lines.
You have, yeah, that's the other thing too. Like, sign up and go, man. If you want to go fight Hamas, go fight Hamas, man. If you want to go fight Russia, go fight Russia. Like, stop sending our sons and daughters to die in these wars for your own personal bullshit vendetta, dude. Like, none of us care anymore. America's done. We're done with the wars. I keep saying this, and people are like, yeah, right, dude. I meet more and more anti-war people out in my normal life outside of politics than I ever have, ever. People are so fed up with being force-fed this stuff, and it's constant. It's constant. It went from Iraq 2 to every other Middle Eastern country, Syria, Yemen, Lebanon, I mean, everything, right? And when they ran out of Middle Eastern countries to destabilize and topple, right, and regime change, now they're like, well, let's look to Europe. Oh, let's look to back to the Middle East. Oh, China's coming. It's like, shut up. We're done.
Stop.
We're done. We don't care anymore. We're sick of your wars. We're sick of your vendettas. We're sick of your regime changes. We know for a fact that you're supplying these wars, you're supplying these weapons, you're supplying the money, and you're using our tax dollars to do it. It's terrible. Knock it off. We're sick of it. Done.
I need to say something.
Okay, go ahead.
Josh, you mentioned something about passion earlier, man. And as long as I've known you, like, I think it was like 2016 or something, I think when Adam Kokesh was running for president, you know, this passion, the ability to deliver a clear, very concise, and principled message, and understanding, like, you know, where my heart lies with all of this kind of stuff because of the basis of it, man. When I heard that you were running for president, kind of took a giant weight off, and I was just like, good. Fucking, we've got some guy that's been involved, that's paid his fucking dues, that has gone around, put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into this party. And, you know, not perfect. None of us are, but have stepped up in your personal life in terms of adoption and kids. And I mean, I was really, for a while, I was like, God, you know what? I'm going to have to break my promise to my wife. And because of you, I didn't. And it was this, you know, I don't know, the more that I've seen, I know I've heard enough, I've seen, you know, some of the stuff behind the scenes. And, you know, my message to the Libertarian Party is this: like, there's a lot of shit going on in this world right now, and the last thing you need to do is think about your fellow liberty fighters in any sort of derogatory way. Like, you guys need each other more than anything right now. You guys are the light and the love of the world. Like, that's what I feel like Bitcoin is. I know libertarians are that. And for, you know, Josh to get out here and do all the work that he's done, and then, you know, in a moment where, you know, things didn't go according to plan, to step up again and say, hey, look, I'm going to go deliver a fucking message. I'm going to do it with some brass knuckles and a lot of sophistication that I think I see lacking in a lot of other places. Like, this isn't to slight anybody. This isn't to do anything like that. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Libertarian Party needs a messenger that people can get behind that are exciting. And I don't see that anywhere else, Josh. And I'm going to tell you right now, whatever you need in this campaign from myself, the Bitcoin community, you know, if I can plug you in and do like, that's it, man. I hope, ladies and gents out there, if you're listening to this, and you're on, you know, you're thinking about it, you're on the fence, or you just haven't heard anybody come out and say something like this, I'm telling you right now, taking 2024 and doing what we need to do with message is going to be Josh Smith for president. I make no qualms about it. Like, I was one of those guys that was open-minded coming into this, but now, you know, it sealed the deal for me, Josh. And I want to say thank you first and foremost for stepping into this position. This is not something that's going to be easy, especially, you know, that none of us are perfect, but I would encourage anybody who's out there who is a libertarian, who is a Bitcoiner, if you're looking at somebody who's going to deliver your message, man, Josh Smith is your guy.
That's a professional endorsement from my good friend Shane Hazel. I appreciate that.
That was awesome.
That was really
good. Yeah, cheers,
that,
man.
That was beautiful. Yeah. Crack beers. Beer, let's go. We did it.
I'm
we
tearing did it, girls. Up over here.
Thanks, Shane, man. That's beautiful, dude. I really appreciate that.
Well, it's going to be best day of my month.
I'm glad I could make your October so early.
If you don't know, I'm expecting my first child in October.
Yeah. He's dealing with the very, very pregnant wife right now. So mm-hmm.
Now he's got to compete with that, man. You're not even gonna like this kid.
I think that your October will get better, buddy. I promise. Man, what a great endorsement. I appreciate that, Shane. You know, I'm clipping that and posting it everywhere, buddy.
Oh, please do. I hope, you know, there's some other ones out there that are thinking about standing against the grain a little bit. You know, it's not an easy thing to do. You know, I'm gonna heap some more praise on Josh, man. Like, being a blue collar guy and, you know, working your ass off for a living and, you know, kids with hungry mouths is not an easy thing to do. I mean, first and foremost, just being a dad that's got their shit together and pushing through the treasury of, you know, this inflation fiat state. Like, this is a characteristic that I was looking for too. And, you know, being a dad and seeing this stuff firsthand, and then to take the slings and arrows of not only, like, you know, the people who are in the parties, but the mainstream media, and then some of your friends, like people that you've worked extremely closely with, that politics has become too much of their life to where they want to ruin people through reputation. It's like, guys, just go build something, do something, and, you know, and achieve, and don't sit there and work on punching, you know, down at other people. Like, it's not good for a look, it's not good for a movement. It's, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you're gonna wish you probably hadn't done some of those things, because they'll come back and bite you in the ass. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yeah, my opponent today, we find out that he tried to have me removed from the South Carolina debate.
That's what did it, man. I was just sitting there like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Like, I actually posted something about, like, that's weak. And I don't know Mike from, you know, from Adam, honestly. But if my campaign is that offended and that weak, man, like, go ahead and drop out. Like, that's you don't have what it takes to go in there. You're going into a war, and I don't think people understand that you're literally at war right now. And to be able to punch at this state, even though we're small in number and quote unquote small in number, it can be very effective given today's decentralized media.
Sure. And that's, you know, that's been the goal. I want this nomination. People are like, oh, you want this nomination to make your podcast bigger or whatever. Like, yeah, it's probably going to make my podcast bigger, and that's going to be like an unintended, like, good thing that mm-hmm. helps me. But if you're running for president, you don't want to grow your personal platform, leave, drop out today, because you have to have a big, you have to have a big platform.
Shrink my personal platform. Yeah, I want to run for president.
I want to completely forget about my personal platform.
Yeah.
So that I could try and win the presidency. Like, that doesn't make any sense. But truth be told, is I'm sick of this uniparty stuff, man. I talked about it on Sue Peters today. Every single bad policy that we've had in my entire lifetime has had bipartisan support. Every single one. Everyone. right? And I'm just sick and tired of it. And it hurts me. It hurts my family. It hurts my community. It hurts my friends. It hurts the country that I live in. It hurts the world that I live in. And it's got to have some healing, right? And like, I just want the good people of America to point me at the Uniparty. That's the goal, right? Mm-hmm. Point me, give me that, the good people in the Libertarian Party, give me that right to go and be the guy that you point at the Uniparty. And then the good people of America help me pull at 15% so I can get up on the debate stage and tell 100%. These monsters how we feel. Not me, how we feel. Because that's how we feel as a society, that these people are monsters, that they continue to foist their evil, terrible, blood-soaked plans on the world, and the rank and file members of the society are sick and tired of it, and we're not going to take it anymore. And I'm the manifestation of that. So point me at this debate so I can look these people in the eyes and tell them how we feel. That's my goal. Anyway, Shane, man, I love you to death, dude. We're at an hour here. Where can people find you, support you, listen to you, all that good stuff?
As you mentioned, I had started a podcast with four of the guys, all veterans. It's called Bitcoin Veterans. Radicals still kind of going. We're going to ramp that up. But man, Bitcoin Veterans is everywhere right now, and it's taken off. It's a movement that's got a movement behind it already. And if you guys are veterans, like I know you are, man, if you're a veteran and you're looking for a place that isn't nihilistic, that you're looking for people that are creating. So we've got Operation Bitcoin, which is a Skillshare for people who are transitioning or who are out that might actually want to work in the Bitcoin space or any other space for that matter. We've got Brave, which is a post-traumatic stress mission that I developed out here in North Georgia. It works with plant medicine. We talk about doing 10,000 years of therapy within 6 hours. Things like this. There's a media production company that's associated with it. The webpage is up. It's bitcoinveterans.com. We are working on things like Citadels, which Josh, I wish we could have talked about it tonight, maybe another time. Citadels are something that libertarians should be all about doing in terms of self-government and growing a community of private property owners. And we're
tell
doing
us about things- it. Tell us about it real quick. Wait, before you move on, tell us about it a little bit, sure. Just a little bit.
So Citadels, there are guys in the Bitcoin community, guys and gals in the Bitcoin community that are setting up citadels all over the country and planet right now. And what a citadel is a place that is going to be private property that is now going to be inhabited by other Bitcoiners, right? So if we're talking about putting up security, putting up roads, putting up anything in terms of growing our food and working with what we have on the continuum until we have a hyper Bitcoinized world. You're providing for your own security. You're running your own simple type of government within these organizations. A lot of these people want to be self-sufficient. Some of them, like mine, are more spiritually based while being self-sufficient. And if you're, I'll tell you what, if you're a Bitcoiner or a libertarian and you're looking for a place, I actually started this one up here in North Georgia. You can contact me about it. But we have a community that we are literally not only taking over, but we are educating on what Bitcoin is, what libertarianism is. And it is mostly private roads. I should say it's private roads. It's private water system. It's got a private lake. It's got a damn golf course in it. It's up here in the North Georgia mountains. It's beautiful. And these things are popping up all over because we're tired of what the state's doing. And so we're building something new. This is all being done, within Bitcoin Veterans and outside of it. And if you need to be plugged in, if you're trying to, recapture what it was that made you sign up in the first place, that love for your fellow man, country, the ideas of freedom, sovereignty, and the fact that you literally have rights that you should be able to exercise without question. This is a group that is putting you back on that mission and giving you something to work towards, to thrive towards, to grind towards for a sense of accomplishment and for legacy, which I think, in this time might be greater than what happened in 1776, given the power projection that is now within our capability. So Josh, thanks for giving me a platform, man. Congratulations on running, man, and keep up the amazing fight. Thank you so much, guys, for making me laugh and having a good time tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, man, thank you so much. We'll be happy to have you on again some other time. And then I think we're still doing your show on the 18th or something like that, somewhere around there.
Something like that.
Yeah, you just let me know, man. I'll be there, dude. I'm stoked about it. Hey, thank you so much for coming on again, Shane.
Peace.
Yeah, Shane.
Everyone go support Shane, man. He's cool.
We love Shane.
He's great, dude.
Shan
Hazel.
Yeah.
Yes.
We have gotten some super chats that we haven't quite addressed.
Yeah, we need to address
some super
chats. I'll go back. Sorry.
Go watch Shane's pinned tweet on his Twitter.
Yeah.
Go watch his speech.
Okay. So externality, awesome. We got that gone. Freeman Die something. I can't read it. Saw you followed my cousin cryptic druid on Twitter today. We're both in Indiana. Where's your rural Indiana meetup at? We're old school MC. I'm banned from everything, so I had to pay to have a voice nowadays. Thanks, buddy. The place is in southern Indiana. It's a 100-acre hobby farm, basically. So we're gonna do a camp out. Speakers, I may have a comedian or two and some live bands. It's gonna be a really cool fundraiser event for the campaign. We haven't got a date set yet though. So when we do, I'll get all that information out there. For anybody else who wants to come and see me, by the way, I'll be at Dallas at the Texas State Fair on Monday for most of the day. We'll have an event that evening somewhere at downtown Dallas at like a local brewery or something like that. So you guys can come meet up and hang out and ask questions and we'll talk and whatever. I will be in Jacksonville, Florida on the 21st for their Duval County meetup. All of this stuff is up on my website at Joshua Smith 2024. We put the events calendar up there so you can go and check it out. It gives you directions and the venues and all that good stuff. And then of course next month I saw that my good friend Quest was in the chat earlier. And so Quest, if you're still here, I'll be in Syracuse, New York. Friday, November 10th, for a really cool event they're doing there. And then I'm flying straight out of there the next morning to go to South Carolina in Charleston, South Carolina, for the big debate that we had to qualify for that my opponent tried to get me removed from for saying mean words. But we're also working on some other things. I know we'll be in Arizona. I know we'll probably, I'm looking at trying to book a time to go up to Maine to do some petitioning there for new libertarians so that they can get ballot access there. I know I'll be back in Florida for sure. I know that we'll be in Texas again. We'll be in California and many other events as well. So just keep up with the events tab on the website and you guys will see all that stuff. Quest Fanning, $2 Super Chat, said, what's up, boys? Externality, $2 Super Chat. He said, it's Gabriel, by the way. Which Gabriel? I know like 17 Gabriels, so let me know who you are. Guy, thanks for the $5 Super Chat. Shane, what do you think of Cardano, and who would you debate Charles Hoskins? Sorry about that, man. I missed that. I'll ask Shane offline, and I'll post the answer on Twitter. I think that Shane is a Bitcoin maximal. I am also a Bitcoin maxi now, grown in my crypto life. I do still have a soft spot for Monero, though, because it's just a good privacy coin.
Yeah, I was on Layden's show. Somebody was shilling Monero there, so I've done a little reading on that.
Yeah, it's some of the shills for all of the coins are almost unbearable sometimes. It's like just... I get it, right? It's
well,
almost
he
like
was
the...
shilling in like a tasteful,
oh,
way,
tasteful
which,
way. Well, that's good.
Which is why I actually went and read about it.
Yeah, sure. I think sometimes the Free State Project people also remind me of some of the crypto shills because they're just like so almost cult-like about it. Like, dude, I get it. Trust me. You know what's hilarious? Julia's been on this Waldorf school kick because, you know, she's a homeschooler.
Yeah.
So she's been really paying attention to these Waldorf schools. They're really great. They're like hippie libertarian schools, but they're like homeschools.
Okay.
She's like, I want to create a Waldorf school. And today she's like, hey, do you think we could move to New Hampshire? I'm like, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go. And she's like, there's like a bunch of Waldorf schools there. That's what they do. Tons. And I'm like, yeah, it's the Free State Project. These people are like basically libertarian hippies that are opting out of the state and big homeschoolers. And she's like, man, maybe we should move to New Hampshire. And I'm like, it's the first time I've heard her talk about moving at all. Right. But it's also to like the one place other than maybe Florida that I'd want to move. And I'm like, yeah, let's go. Because you could have machine guns there, you know, so why not? Plus Banning, what's up, boys? He said for $2 Super Chat. Thank you, brother. We appreciate you, man. He's been around for so long. Mama Bear, too, $2 Super Chat. Thank you. She said, preach, Josh, 100%. That's probably when I was talking about the pro-life stuff. Plus Banning said, $5 Super Chat. I fully believe that the United States has engaged in a couple of just wars, but even then, not for the right reasons. I would be interested to learn which just wars, though, because I believe... you know, there's some gray nuanced area about our involvement in World War II, they say, right?
Like the Korean War is one that I could justify
it.
The North Korean, I've read the autobiography of Kim Jong Il, and sure. he would slaughter people en masse without hesitation.
That you think one, there were no other countries in Asia that would have got Korea's back in that though?
I don't know for sure. That's one that I don't think we got in that was just, but I don't think we got in it for the right reasons. So well, it so ended Pearl up Harbor being like kind attack. Of a positive, but our motivations were not
sure.
Pure.
Pearl Harbor was a surprise attack?
I don't believe
surprising,
that one.
Surprising to most people in the United
surprising
States, not
the
president.
People that didn't get the intel.
Yeah, to the people who didn't get the intel, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I was listening to Scott Horton talk about that today on Elijah Schaefer's show.
Oh, I got to remind me, Elijah hit me up and said he wants to come on our show. So,
oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, we'll have Elijah on for sure. Elijah's I need to send him great. An email and get him. He actually sent me a message on Twitter because I had messaged him like over a year ago, mm-hmm. like about to come on the show. And then I sent him another message with like one of the campaign videos. So I'm trying to get these big like people mm-hmm. to share those because that's how we're going to gain ground. But what? Also because they probably would agree with most of the stuff in those videos.
Mm, true.
But then he messaged me back like a couple months after I put out that first video and was like, hey, to the show. Yes. Send me an email. And he sent me his email. I need to give him. We'll get Elijah on. That'll be a lot of fun.
What network is he on now?
He's on the Blaze. No, he left
Censored
Blaze.
TV.
He's on Censored. That's right. He was on Blaze TV, but they basically booted him from the Blaze.
Booted him from Blaze. Yeah.
So I'm sure we could have a really cool conversation.
He's
with
in
him.
Australia now.
And if you guys haven't noticed, we got all of our boys back to their seats tonight. We are going to build a personal solo seat for AJ, like Ryan's over there. So if you want to support the show to help us continue to build the studio and build the brand, we would appreciate that. That is not a donation to the campaign. Donate mm-hmm. to the show through Patreon or any of these. It helps build the show. So just know that. If you want to donate to the campaign, all of the donations for the campaign go either through crypto. You can send us any crypto you want. Just ask me for an address. I'll send it to you. Or joshuasmith2024.com. You can go there and donate as much you want. Up to $3,300 is the max for any individual donor. Do your best, man. We need you. We need the help with both things. But we do have a really good studio built here now. We'll have some in-studio guests showing up soon now that we can do all these great in-studio guests without all the hiccups of trying to have 18 USB mics going. And so anyways,
we should start pushing some yard signs. I need to do that.
I am going to be ordering yard signs very soon, very soon. You can now order yard signs from our website.
Oh yeah.
So you can get a website.
Yeah, they're the best looking yard signs.
The best
I have
looking
ever
yard
seen,
sign you've ever
and
seen.
It's not close.
So you can. There's two different ones, and you can do a single sided or a double sided. It's a little more expensive for comes with the rack and stand and all that. And I don't like charging people for yard signs. I want to be able to just send out yard signs and have people get them for free. And eventually we'll get there, but that costs money. So when we build the war chest, and we are building the war chest. We'll have campaign signs to send out. But if you want an early one while we're still in the primary, before the general, then please go buy one off the website, put it up. We want as much visible support as possible around the country, man, because we're building a movement here, and it's a movement that's needed for sure. Ryan, you got anything before we take off, buddy?
Follow me on Twitter at BulldogGamer28. I've been kind of organically growing quite a bit this last week.
Yeah.
I think I got like 20 followers.
Nice, buddy. Good job.
It's been, yeah.
Finally trickling down.
Oh, I got my first Dave Smith reply. That's
oh, nice. That'll help. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll help. That'll help.
And in the exchange we had, I got more likes, which is insane.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job, buddy.
No, and it was backing you up.
All about my drama. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
yeah, it's been a wild week for
the
us.
The drama's been good.
I don't
want
to rehash it all on the show. I thought about talking about it more tonight on the show. I do want my followers to know that my opponent tried to have me removed from the South Carolina debate for saying that he was boring and a liar. He did apologize to me. It took me a couple hours to accept his apology because it was just a really underhanded, dirty thing to do. And it was something that he thought I would never find out about, and I did right away. Literally within hours, I knew about it. And of course, I'm going to post that kind of stuff because, hey, man, if you're going to do these dirty things, we're going to bring it to light, period. I'm an anti-corruption guy, okay? And I'm not going to deal with corruption. But he did apologize, even though we know that Michael Heiss, you know, I got a lot of friends that are organizers in the caucus and stuff. Michael Heiss went and basically told him, like, you go apologize right now. That was bad. That was bad look, right? whatever. It is what it is. I've accepted the apology and asked him, please don't do any more underhanded, dirty tactics in this. If you do, next time I won't accept your apology. That's for sure. AJ, you got anything before we take off, buddy?
Follow my Twitter, poison_tip. And I'm trying to get to 500. Get the 500 followers so I can get subscriptions.
Yeah, yeah, we got to do that. Joshua Smith's 442,069 child. He said, hey, Dad, I don't think I ever got into the super secret members patron only Discord server. Think you could slide an invite link my way? Also, yep, Cox. Yeah, absolutely, man. That's the other thing. I forgot to tell you. Yeah, send him one. But that's the other thing too. I always forget to say this, and I should be telling you guys this. The Patreon and the Subscribestar are two ways to monthly support the show, and there's levels there. Those automatically put you into the Discord server. If you'll get an invite automatically. If you're a member of the YouTube channel, it will not. So if you send me a message on Twitter or anything else.
Or
hit up Ryan and show your proof that you're a member of the channel, we'll get you into that Discord server too. And I'm going to start taking a lot more time in there. And we're also going to be doing members only shows. We're going to do a members only show tonight. So it's already, the link's already up. If you're a member on YouTube, it's already up. If you're in the Patreon or the Subscribestar, the link's already there for tonight. So we will do an after hour show.
I realized I forgot to ping everybody in the Discord that the show was starting.
And we still did good. So
yeah, we still did good. Yeah.
And there are apparently a lot of my merch that it was supposed to get ordered for people who were members of Patreon and stuff didn't get ordered. So I have to go through and figure all that stuff out, who didn't get what, and try and get you guys all fixed up about that. I apologize. It's been months and months, maybe a year, some of these guys. I thought that everybody had their merch and I was wrong.
I'll try your website again. I had a problem with I think I ordered on my phone. I think it was the mobile site.
Really? Was that a while ago?
There was a bug, yeah.
Yeah, so 3 or 4 weeks ago. Have some problems with the campaign website through mobile, but they've all been taken care of.
All right, good deal.
All right, guys, well, I'll see you next week. I think, I'm trying to figure out, do we have somebody next week? I think we have somebody next week. Let's take a look.
You're on top of it.
Yes, Nathan Polsky will be on the show next week. He is running for chairman of the Libertarian Party of Texas. He is the Mises Caucus endorsed candidate, running to take over a state board that's been not very friendly to my side of the park. So that'll be an interesting thing. I think he's kind of a unity guy too, so it'll be a lot of fun. So we'll see you guys next Thursday. Until then, don't forget to break the cycle.
Due to legal reasons, I just have to explain. The lyrics of my last song may seem to contain a violent call to action in the verse and refrain. But I just banned it in Minecraft. The helicopter part was in reference to GTA 5 and the things you do. So any violence you commit, I am not an excuse, because I just banned it in Minecraft. What Jimper is my friend and he's constantly cold. Accusations of incitement getting totally old. Make your own choices, yeah, you have control, because I just banned it in Minecraft. Obviously, I would never advocate force, unless it's due process and a trial, of course. And if you're convicted, we will make you a corpse in Minecraft, just in Minecraft. You're nothing I mean, you